Good morning, Village. I'm going to chase you back to your seats. It's good. Just thinking through some of the words of some of those worship songs, what a blessing and what a good reminder. And then hearing from our missionaries and just excited about hearing from more of them this week. And just reflecting on how we can send well as a church, something that this church has always done extraordinarily well. So thank you for that. And we want to refine that and keep doing that. Today is a special Sunday, a different Sunday. And it's one of our traditions here at Village, is that as we come to the end of each section of text that we study, we have a reading service. And it's a chance that we have to read through the text in its entirety as we've been going through it week by week in Genesis 1 through 11. I think we've been about 3 months in. And so we do a deep dive on each of the texts. But then at the end, we want to come back and get the bigger picture. And sometimes I'm asked, and I explain this each time, well, why do we do a reading service? Isn't that a waste of a Sunday? And here's the thing. The reading of God's word is powerful and effective. And it is something that touches our hearts. The reading of God's word touches deep in our hearts, and sermons are great, and whoever's preaching, explaining it is nice. And we have that precedent in God's word, too. But God's word itself is the most powerful thing we can do. And so we always want to come back to that. We always want to come back to the reading of God's word and remember that God's word is living and active and pierces our very souls. I think in this case with Genesis 1 through 11, it's even more important to do to see the bigger picture and how these stories connect. Because I don't know if you've caught it, but each set of stories that we've done have repeated the same cycle. And repeated the same themes. And sometimes in the middle of each story, we don't get that. But when we look at the bigger picture, we're like, there it is again. There it is again. And we tried to point out how so many of them paralleled other stories that we had already studied. But we want to see that bigger picture. We want to see those themes. Look for the repetitions today. Look for the patterns of what is happening. Because we're reminded in 2 Timothy 3:16, All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that's what today is about, coming back to Genesis 1 through 11 as we finish this first section, the origin chronicles of Genesis. And I wanted to remind you of the themes. They're in your notes there, but the things to look for, some of those things that are repeated. As you know, we called this the prequel of prequels. It's the origin of all things, the beginning of all things. And in Genesis 1 through 11, we get a description and an understanding of why the world is the way it is. We look around and we can say, why is there evil? Or why is there this? Why is there marriage? Why is there male and female? And Genesis 1 through 11 answers all of those questions. It's the beginning of all animals. It's the beginning of the earth. It's the beginning of mankind. The beginning of marriage and romantic love, which we just had Valentine's Day. It's the beginning of family. It's the beginning of sin and rebellion. And the beginning of God having to deal with that sin and that rebellion as a holy, righteous God. But it's also the beginning of the time where we get to see God's perfect plan of grace and God's perfect plan of redemption. And so I would argue that it's really hard to understand anything about the world we live in today correctly without understanding Genesis 1 to 11, without understanding the very foundation. Because this is the beginning of the story of God redeeming creation back to himself. And so we ask about creation. We ask about why did he have to redeem creation back to himself, and what does that look like? And so the four themes that we'll see throughout every story today and every chapter that we read, we see the greatness and the kingship of God. The greatness and the kingship of our Creator God. And it's a reminder that with a word, he created all things. It's a reminder that he is sovereign over all things and over all people. And then the second theme goes with that, but yet he still wants a relationship with his created beings, with his creation. And so we're going to see in each story God drawing near to us as we pull back from him. and God making a way for that relationship to happen. Because God wants relationship with you and I. He created us for relationship. The third theme that I wish we didn't see, but we do, is man's repeated rebellion and the consequences of wanting to be our own God. And so really one and three go together. We see the greatness and the kingship of God, but three is us saying, well, I'd sort of like to be God. I'd sort of like to make my own decisions. I'd sort of like to do what I want. And so we see that rebellion and the devastating consequences. Last week we saw that again with even the quote that we looked at the beginning. As man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may be. And I was so thankful, I told some of you this week, I was so thankful no one said amen on that quote. Because it's heresy of us wanting to be little gods and wanting to be like God. But then the fourth theme that as I've heard people talk about Genesis, especially people that don't know God, they miss this one completely. We see the grace, redemption, and the promised Savior in every story. And I hope you haven't gotten tired of us pointing that out of every story, but we have to understand it is such a blessing and so incredible to see God's grace even when all of mankind turn against him. Even when there's rebellion, even when there's people shaking their fists in his face, there is still grace and still redemption and still a plan. And so as we read today, I'd like to ask the question, and at the end we'll ask the question again, how do these themes that we see in these stories affect your daily life? Yes, this is the story of the origins chronicles, these first 11 chapters. But how do these move beyond just a story of how things came to be to being profitable for instruction and for training and for our lives? And so when we look at the greatness and the kingship of God, which we see, like I said, in creation, but then exerted in each situation after that, we ask ourselves the question, do I trust God? If he created the world with a word, might I be able to trust him with Monday? And it's something to think about. When we think of the theme of relationship and God drawing near, am I drawing back to him? Am I responding to that? When we think of man's rebellion and wanting to be our own gods, what idols do I have in my life? And when we think of God's grace, are we overwhelmed and amazed by that perfect grace? And so we want to jump into Genesis 1 and read through 1 through 11. You're welcome to read along if you'd like. You're welcome to sit and listen. There's a space in your notes because sometimes a verse just hits differently when you hear it than when we've studied it. And maybe you want to write that down and where that is. But our readers will come up and go back and forth between the mics. And then we'll, at the end, talk a little bit about those themes again and what you saw. Let's enjoy the reading of God's Word.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse separated from the waters that there... And God made the expanse, separated the waters that there were under, that there were, and under the expanse of the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruits, trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, so separate the day from the night, and let them be signs for seasons and for days and for years. and let them be lights in the expanse in the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves within the waters swarms according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to theirs, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock and over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation.
When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land, and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon, and the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon, and it is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that was in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he will rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take out also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the garden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life.
Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad fathered Mahujael, and Mahujael fathered Methushael, and Methushael fathered Lamech. And Lamech took two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, "Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, "God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him." To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord.
When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the Son of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, "I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it the lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die." But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive, shall come in into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him.
Then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and seven pairs of the birds of the heavens, also male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters came upon the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the floods, the waters of the flood. Of clean animals and of animals that are not clean, and of birds and of everything that creeps on the ground, two and two, male and female, went into the ark with Noah, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, and on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the dark with Noah, two and two of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, and all swarming creatures that swarm on earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in those nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days.
But God remembered Noah and all the beast and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated, and in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the tenth month. In the tenth month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made, and he sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him any more. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intentions of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever strike again, never again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease."
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon the things that creep on the ground and all the flesh of the sea, fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. And for God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, increasing greatly on the earth and multiply in it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it, and will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the people of the whole earth were dispersed. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and walked backwards, covering the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backwards, and they did not see the nakedness, their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." He also said, "Blessed is the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died.
Moving to chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they promised to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. And they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. These are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. And then moving to the end of that genealogy, verse 24. When Nahor had lived 29 years, he fathered Terah. And Nahor lived after he fathered Terah 119 years and had other sons and daughters. When Terah had lived 70 years, he fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So just as we finish and think through what we just read and all the different stories that we've read and we've studied, a couple of questions that I'd like just a quick response. We have a couple moments here. The first is, what part of that reading and what story do you really see God's greatness? And I know the low-hanging fruit is creation. So are there other ways that we see God's greatness and we see his sovereignty, we see his kingship? And then we'll ask the next question is, what areas do you see God's grace? And where did you see God's grace? So starting with God's kingship and his greatness, where did you see that? What struck you? He created all things. With a word. An immense power. Good. Power to create and destroy. And he does that in a holy, righteous way. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and he's not going to end it like he did for a year with the flood. Right. All that ended. Yeah. Someone else, God's greatness. He created time. Yeah, think about that for a minute. That'll blow your mind if you think about that too much. He created time because he stands above that. Couple more on God's greatness. Yeah, that's great. His purposeful use of time stands above it, but he works within it, which is a beautiful thing. One more on God's greatness. Yeah, in the middle of all our mistakes as humans, his plan still went forward. We didn't mess God up. Isn't that comforting? That's really comforting. What about his grace? Where did you see God's grace? And again, if you're in the balcony, flag me down, throw something at me or something, but get my attention. Jim. Yeah, so true. What he was saying is that even in the flood, at the beginning of the flood, God had determined that man had gotten so evil and so rebellious that they deserved to be wiped out. But in his grace, he still spared some and showed his redemption. Where else do you see God's grace? Alice. Yeah. Because Noah could have just been left wondering, will God ever want relationship with us again? And God came and graciously reinstated the mandate, gave the promise again, and gave the covenant. That's great. That's grace. A couple more on God's grace. Yeah. When Adam and Eve disobeyed, he cursed them because there's a righteous penalty, but then he clothed them and covered them in his grace. One more. Where did you see God's grace? Up there. Thank you for flagging me down. We'll get both of you. Yeah. Thank you, Dom. Even though Cain murdered his brother and was under God's judgment, God still protected him because he's made in God's image. Kaylin. He gave Adam Eve. Amen? Yeah, because it was not good for man to be alone. That's great. Okay, one more. Oh, we're going on grace. This is good. Yes. A replacement son that, yes, the lineage of Christ would come. Coco. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so much of the story of Genesis 1:11 is God calling out to us when we blow it. And even in our sin, his grace calls out to us. Okay, really the last one. Yes, the dispersion was an act of grace, so they wouldn't continue in their sin and escalate their sin. So we see God's fingerprints of grace all over the place, even as he's dealing with our rebellion and our sin. And it's just a wonderful beginning to God's story of redeeming creation back to himself. I'd like to invite worship team up, and we'd like to end by standing together and reminding ourselves that God loves the world he created, and he has a plan to redeem creation back to himself if we will turn to him. So let's stand and worship our Lord. Lord God, our Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your plan of redemption, that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness of sins. We can have salvation and life eternal. Lord, thank you that we can take wherever we're at and lay it at the cross. And the penalty you paid on the cross in our place covers that fully and freely and forever. Lord, thank you for your redemption, for your forgiveness. Lord, we give you all the honor and the praise in your name. Amen.